This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just coming up to 5:06 in the evening, and for our first story today, we're going to take a look at MCA's Chinese New Year open house and the rather glaring absence of certain Pakatan Harapan leaders.
So, to me, whether it is opposition or ruling party in the government, it doesn't matter. This is a festive season that we all celebrate together.
That was MCA President Wee Ka-seong, but his hopes didn't seem to turn out so well. Apparently, MCA had extended invitations to Pakatan leaders to attend the open house, but they just failed to show up.
Yeah, I said certain leaders earlier, but really, I think it was just everyone. So one academic from UCSI University, also our guest from yesterday, Professor Mohammad Tajuddin Mohammad Razdi, criticised this, saying that Pakatan leaders shouldn't have turned down the invitation without proper reason because it, quote-unquote, sours our path towards national harmony.
He also said that MCA is a respectable party that played an important role under Barisan Nasional. And besides that, ministers are for everyone, not just for party supporters. He then called for Pakatan to extend a formal apology to MCA and the people of the country for not setting a good example of non-partisan citizenry on a special celebration.
So I guess the question here is whether or not you agree with Professor Tajuddin on the subject. You know, should Pakatan leaders have attended really the MCA open house? I can see that yes, it is a festive season and open houses are supposed to be a space, right, in which it's open. It's in the name.
You mingle.
Yeah, but having said that, I think because things have been contentious recently, I don't think I would have expected them to attend.
Well, I think on the other end, it's like, it's more than anything a part of a politician's job and rather an elected representative's job to show that they are, you know, a person that's for everyone. So I think perhaps Professor Tajuddin's call for these leaders to apologize. No, I don't think they have to apologize, but I think maybe Pakatan leaders should actually make an effort to go to these open houses because they do symbolize something. There are also MCA supporters I think it's still worth for Pakatan to show that, you know, you didn't vote for us, but that's fine. We still serve you in the end.
Yeah, we still serve you. And also, it is like so many other things. It's a bit about face, isn't it? It's a bit about showing face. It's a bit about respect. And I think, like you, I'm not necessarily sure that we need to apologize either to MCA or to the people at large. But I do think that it would be a good example to start showing face. Maybe if we had a bit more of that, we would have less screaming at each other in the newspapers and, you know, in Twitter, really.
No, I'm sure they'll still be screaming even if they attend each other's open houses.
Yeah, but at least there'll be a party photo you can send to them, you know, just to troll them and say, remember when you got along, remember this open house. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think about the fact that Pakatan leaders did not attend MCA's open house? Do you agree with Professor Tajuddin that this was just poor form? Let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And in the article, actually, one of the reasons that Prof Tajuddin gave as a good one to get out of an open house is, hey, do you have a medical reason? Which kind of ironically gets us to our next story.
You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news.
Fake news.
I've seen people destroyed, and I think it's very unfair. Some of the media outlets that I deal with are fake news.
Fake news. I think.
So you may have seen a photo of Datuk Seri Dr. Wan Azizah in hospital room with Lim Kit Siang, accompanied by comments that after Azmin Ali's recent gallbladder surgery, it's Wan Azizah's turn now, and that Tun Mahathir is planning to use this recent bout of ill health to instate his son, Datuk Seri Mukhris Mahathir, to the position of Deputy Prime Minister.
So in case you didn't catch that very convoluted conspiracy theory, doesn't matter because it's all fake news anyway. The DPM's office has released a statement saying that the photo facto in question is an old one, and that the writing and all the speculation surrounding it is just plain fake. Going on to say this is a malicious effort by irresponsible people aimed at creating tension in the Pakatan coalition, which I just find notable simply because the phrasing of that, malicious effort, irresponsible people creating tension in the coalition, is an exact sentiment that was made yesterday, actually, by Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim about the cabinet reshuffle not going forward.
So she went on to say that people should not believe everything they read on social media, and also urged more responsibility when it comes to posting news, urging folks not to share it if in doubt. If you need help identifying if certain images you find online are real or fake, here are some tips that we found on DW.com.
Do a reverse image search. Search engines like Google allow you to upload an image or drag and drop it into the search field. The result can provide clues about the image's origin. It shows who posted it and when. Often older images are taken and used in a new and different context. Original photos are sharper and of better quality than copies. When compared with the original, it's apparent what's been altered. The net is awash in faked images. You can also spot them with a sharp eye for detail. For instance, reflections on shiny surfaces. Do the shadows fall in the right places? Do the time of day and year correspond to the time the picture was supposedly taken? Check by consulting the weather report for the place where the image was allegedly shot. Do the buildings, street names, or number signs all match up? These can be checked using Maps or Google Street View. There are also special websites and programs dedicated to analyzing photos. They show when, where, and with what camera a photo was taken. So don't fall for fakes.
I think WhatsApp has done so much for fake news here in our country. And I think that that is a pretty good primer for when you receive something. And I think the best gauge of it is if your initial feeling is, hey, and it really, like, it doesn't have to be, hey, this is fake. But I think if you get a really, like, strong knee-jerk reaction in your gut, that's usually a good sign to check. Not because you think it's fake, but because if it gets such a strong reaction, odds are good that it is aimed to get that reaction. And, you know, it's therefore, I think, just a good idea to check before you forward it along to, like, 20. Well, now you can only do 5, but still.
You know, I'm never really sure how videos or PSAs like these ever truly work, because you still get people sending you stuff that's fake or unverified, and then they'll just say, well, and you tell them it's fake, you need to do your checking. They'll still say things like, well, just to be safe, I'm just sending it to you. It could be wrong, but at least you know.
Funny that you mentioned PSAs, because that's going to be what we're talking about in just a little bit. Do they work? Do public service announcements have any impact whatsoever? Because a study out of Africa would suggest that they do. Let us know what you think, either about sharing fake news or about whether or not Pakatan leaders should have gone and attended the MCA open house. Do you agree with the call that's come out from Professor Mohamed Tajuddin Mohamed Razdi that basically this sours our path towards national harmony? It's poor form. They should apologize. Do you agree? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. On Twitter, Johan Johari says, the leaders being petty make them seem like BN 2.0. And I think that there is something to that, mostly for me to do with the idea, I'm going to come back to this, just show face, you know, literally show your face, and then maybe you won't get scolded. Keep those thoughts coming in the meantime, and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. Earlier, we were talking about, basically Deputy Prime Minister Wan Aziza saying if you've seen a photo of her circulating in a hospital room, it's fake news. We wanted to know your thoughts or criteria when it comes to sharing photos, especially, I think, on WhatsApp as well as on Facebook. How do you kind of deal with that? Do you bother to do the whole reverse image search? Do you go through all the work? We also wanted to hear from you about the Pakatan Harapan. There's been an admonishment that's been put out from Professor Mohamed Tajuddin Mohamed Razdi, basically saying, look, you didn't attend the MCA open house, and you should have, because it would have set a good example. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Look says, no, you should not be seen to associate yourself with criminals or alleged criminals. So I'm pretty sure that some people might agree with that so far. It's a bit of a 50-50 split. People saying, yes, you know, don't be petty. Someone else saying, well, no, be petty because, yes, you shouldn't be seen to associate yourself like that.
I don't know if MCA has necessarily been doing bad or illegal criminal activities.
I think it's guilt by association. I mean, as much as anything else.
Right, okay.
But our next story is actually going to look at the impact of public service announcements.
Assalamualaikum, apa khabar? Sonok kan nak balik kampung? Tapi adik bahno, biasalah balik kampung pun nak bersolek. Bersolek juga, tapi keselamatan mesti dijaga. Setiap kali anda masuk kenderaan, pakailah tali pinggang keledar. Ia mungkin dapat menyelamatkan nyawa anda. Yang duduk di tepi dan yang di belakang pun kena pakai juga.
Plus okay? Di sisi anda.
So look, I think for a lot of people, PSAs can sometimes just be a little bit white noisy. When a PSA pops up, your first instinct might be to just roll your eyes or, you know, tune out altogether.
But a recent study in Uganda showed that PSAs can actually be exceptionally powerful. And they found this out when researchers at Columbia commissioned a series of PSAs that proved to be effective in helping reduce the rate of violence against women.
Now, to be fair, these aren't any old PSAs. They hired local screenwriters, they scripted three videos, and it was filmed with local actors using the main language spoken in Uganda. And this was done specifically so that viewers could identify with the characters. And it worked because 84% of survey respondents, after seeing this, said that they could see this actually happening in their village.
Each video depicts the same woman whose husband beats her. It's graphic and very painful to watch. The outcomes of the storyline changes depending on whether or not the woman's neighbor or family chooses to intervene and help her. All three videos were designed to illustrate the importance of reporting and speaking up about domestic violence.
At first, the results were not super positive. Attitudes and opinions about violence towards women didn't, suddenly change overnight. That's not what we're talking about. But they did eventually find a decrease in the frequency of domestic abuse. And they estimated that the probability of women in a violent household being abused decreased by, well, they are saying at least 5 percentage points, effectively preventing violence in hundreds of households.
This effect seemed to be driven by a greater willingness and determination by the women themselves to report violent incidents. Women in the treatment group were less likely to be worried about the social sanctions that might come from reporting domestic violence, and were more likely to say that they'd be willing to report domestic violence to their parents, a counsellor, or the police.
So like we were saying earlier, admittedly, not all PSAs are made equal. And, in this inequality or in this unequal landscape, some are just much better than others, some are more shocking than others. So the question here, I guess, is it about the shock value? I mean, the trademark of a memorable PSA is perhaps some sort of hook that's a bit shocking, a bit scary. Sometimes it's graphic, other times it's loud and uncomfortable noise. If it's done right, it can make the message stick.
There was a 2003 study that actually proved that shocking images and shocking ads actually force people to recall the message more, and it actually changes behavior, especially among young people. So I think that, beyond just the way that we have a visceral reaction to the ads, we know that they do work, and we know that academically.
But the researchers from the Uganda study acknowledged that the same approach might not be as effective in other regions, where the cultural attitudes and modes of media consumption are different. They did, however, say that other types of TV and content with similar messaging, for example, Sesame Street or reality TV shows like 16 and Pregnant, can generate widespread social change.
So from this perspective, then, it seems to affirm and confirm the idea that the things we watch are really quite important and can influence us, and that includes the cheesy PSAs. And I am pleased but also surprised, I have to say, by the results of this study. I am one of those people for whom PSAs kind of just fly over my head, partly because maybe I haven't seen one that was geared towards me, that was geared towards a problem that I was having. But generally speaking, when I watch them, it's very melodramatic. It's very kind of big storytelling. But it's also, I guess, yeah, it's also stuff we've seen before, heard before.
Well, I think it has to be the right kind of PSAs as well. If you, if you listen to other radio stations, maybe not us, then you find that there are a lot of PSAs that remind us to be kind, remind us to not cut queues and all that. I don't think those are necessarily effective, and at times, if those might be done wrong, and that might sound a little patronizing. And anyway, just to go back to this study as well, I think what was interesting was that they pointed out that the modes of media consumption might be different in that specific community in Uganda. And I think for us, the part of the reason why some of it doesn't work is because we might be desensitized with an oversaturation of media outlets, media channels that we consume. So if you have less of that, I think in places where maybe mobile and internet penetration isn't that great, perhaps the effect from these PSAs, especially if they're really well done, the impact can be so much more.
I would recommend watching the PSAs, actually, because they are extremely well done. I mean, it's not in a language we understand, but the story is very clear. I think for me, and I'm wondering if I'm alone in remembering this PSA, when I was a child, there was this one that really stuck in my head, and it was about, I think, drunk driving or safe driving, and it ends with an ambulance and an EMT saying, boy, boy, can you hear me, boy? Oh. And I think that I'm not alone in remembering that exact phrase, because it was just a very... to me, it's stuck in my head, which makes me wonder whether or not, yeah, there is a point before you get desensitized, before you start consuming lots and lots of media, and it becomes kind of par for the course for, you know, scary stuff or violent stuff to be part of your media diet, when it can really get in there. Because I think that was something that was around when I was maybe 4 or 5, and it's something I remember till now.
You know, the PSA that I remember not ever working is probably the one where when you buy DVDs and then...
Oh, yes.
What you get is, why you should buy the gold disc and not the blue disc. I don't think we ever truly followed that advice.
I think the moral of that story was that that was a very dull PSA. So that was the problem as much as anything else. Let us know what you think. Do PSAs work? Have they ever changed your behavior? Do you remember any particular PSAs that have kind of really stuck out? WhatsApp us and let us know at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the subject of the MCA open house and the non-attendance by Pakatan Harapan, it continues to be a 50-50 split. Saw says, no, they don't have to. It's a public holiday. Let them rest. Since when is it mandatory to attend an open house hosted by a questionable party that helped to swindle money off the people of Malaysia, allegedly? Alwyn, meanwhile, says, be the bigger person or party. What's wrong in that? So, yes, continuing to kind of be a very even divide down the middle. But weigh in. Let us know. Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.